It's finally here, the Macy's Friends and Family Sale with an extra 30% off gifts they'll love. Get an extra 25% off dressed-up designer looks for kids from Calvin Klein and more, plus an extra 25% off Samsonite and Delsey luggage. With great prices from top designers, Macy's has all the best deals you won't want to miss this week. And don't forget to sign up for a Macy's card or use a coupon to get 15% off beauty products they'll love this season. Click here to download the Macy's app today for great holiday deals at Macy's.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to this second hour of a Tuesday edition of the Todd Starnes Show, coast to coast on more than 100 outstanding radio stations. And as always, streaming live at ToddStarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. I'm Jeff Stein, speaking to you from Starnes Media Affiliate, News Talk 1540 KXEL in Waterloo and Cedar Rapids, Iowa, the 50,000-watt blowtorch, scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable views, and it's my privilege to fill in for Todd. You know, I have a feeling, now I don't know this, but I have a feeling that Todd Starnes was the kind of kid growing up when if he was sick, and sick in bed and have to miss school, Mama and Daddy Starnes would say, "Son, you gotta stay home another day." And he'd say, "No, I feel great. I'm getting up. I'm going to school." Even if he was still sick, because he wanted to be back in the game. And I tell you, if you speak for a living, people in radio, if you speak for a living, and there's something going on, and your throat gets a little tricky, and you think you've got it covered, and boom, all of a sudden, Mother Nature, or whoever takes care of those things, tells you you came back too soon. So that shows you how much Todd really wants to be with you all on a daily basis. But I think smart move to say, let's call that idiot in Iowa and see if he can fill in. So Todd, you go get the whorehound drops, you get the lemon and tea and the honey in it and whatever you need so we can get your voice back as soon as possible. In the meantime, follow Todd on Twitter and Parler and Getter at Todd Starnes. You can follow me on Instagram and Parler and Twitter and Getter and whatever they haven't invented yet at Iowa, IOWA Politics. All right, so coming up at the bottom of this hour, we're going to speak with Raymond Arroyo. Mr. Arroyo is well known to you through his work on EWTN, Fox Nation, the Fox TV network, but he is also the author of a wonderful book released, as I recall, last year called The Spider That Saved Christmas. He has some very special thoughts about Christmas and about what's going on in our world. And we will talk with Raymond Arroyo live on this here radio program coming up just after the bottom of the hour. Also adding some guests even as we speak for our next hour. But we still have plenty of time for you. This is an audience interaction radio program as always. So please give us a call at 844-747-8868. Same number you always use. It's 844-747-8868, and we'll connect you and get you on the radio through the Liberty University studios here on the Todd Starnes radio program. The president, well, let me rephrase that. The person who was sworn in as president on January 20th is supposed to be speaking. And as Todd mentioned just before the top of the hour break, if that does happen and we are able to join it, we will. I actually thought, as I was listening to the first hour of the show and Todd's voice started to get a little softer and get a little more. He said it was like late night advice host voice. I thought for a bit he was going to slip into Joe Biden. When Joe wants to tell us something really important, he would whisper. And that's why he had to get off the mic, because he does not want to be confused for a moment with the individual who was sworn in as president on January 20th. Early today, and I find this interesting, I'm sure other administrations have done this at times. My sense is that the Biden administration, the people who are pulling the strings on the marionette, they don't trust him to deliver the message. And so they issued, they trumped his announcement with a news release that came out at 5 o'clock Eastern time this morning. In other words, one of the first things I found when I got up this morning through my email was, here's what the president's going to announce. Here's what he's going to do. He's going to mobilize an additional 1,000 troops to deploy to COVID-burdened hospitals. And that's all your fault. You people in MAGA country, this is all your fault. He is going to activate FEMA response teams. He's going to pre-position critical supplies, probably just to blue states. And we're going to send everybody a free test kit, and we're going to utilize the Defense Production Act. Where did they learn how to do that? Thank you very much. And there are going to be all sorts of vaccination clinics. All right, so none of it is official until the president says it, but let's face it, the people writing his script released all of this earlier this morning. This is the part where, again, they just do not understand the situation. They do not understand why no one is listening to them. No one is listening to them because they have zero credibility on the topic. One of the things that was mentioned in this, and I want to find out, I saw it this morning and I need to point it out to you. They first patted themselves on the back. Did you know that 73% of adult Americans are fully vaccinated? That's up from less than 1% before the president took office. Yeah, it's all Joe Biden's doing that people got vaccinated. Keep in mind, friends, and I know you, Starnes Nation, you remember this. The vaccine was developed. Donald J. Trump got it done. He made it happen. These folks would still be looking for the phone number for the pharmaceutical companies had they been in charge then, and thank God they're not. So the vaccine was going to be ready. Trump said, well, it could even be ready this fall. He was laughed out of town by those on the left. The pharmaceutical companies knew he was right, but they didn't want him in office any longer. So they did not announce that they had a vaccine until after the election. Sure don't want to influence the election with that. No, certainly not. So the fact that Joe Biden today says, look, 73% are fully vaccinated, less than 1% before I got here, it has nothing to do with this administration. These same people who said they would not trust the vaccine if Trump had anything to do with it, Madam Vice President. But now, since they have no other plan and certainly don't want to suggest that therapeutics have any role to play in this, they are now going to add new pop-up vaccination clinics. The president is going to announce that FEMA is standing up. I don't even know who's writing this. I don't even know this language. The president will announce that FEMA is standing up new pop-up vaccination clinics across the country, including a new mobile unit in Washington and 4 new mobile units across New Mexico. The problem is not, and this is the disconnect, the problem is not lack of a place to get a vaccination. The problem is those who do not have not yet been vaccinated are doing so of their own choice. It's either a religious reason, totally bona fide. It's a medical reason, also totally bona fide. They don't want to do it because they don't trust the government. Third reason, totally bona fide. So the mere fact that they say, how are we going to get more shots in arms, as the bold print in this news release states? How are we going to get more shots in arms? I know, let's have some more vaccination clinics. Again, a pro tip to the folks running the White House. The lack of vaccination has nothing to do with lack of availability. There are not people in this country, I dare say, who are looking around saying, excuse me, can you tell me where I can get a COVID shot? You can get it at a grocery store. You get it at a pharmacy. You get it at a doctor's office, a free clinic. They were having it at sporting events all throughout the fall. Right? The parking lot was there at a football game. Roll up your sleeve, get your hot dog and your vax. So the problem is not that we need more places to get them. It's that we don't trust this government. It's because this government has a financial interest in one of the vaccines. How do we trust anything they say? It is just absolutely amazing that they are so singly focused on one idea, they cannot conceive of anything else. The only way this administration can conceive of anything other than original plans is if there's a way so that they can soak you and spend trillions of more dollars. Build Back Better is not dead. Build Back Better is just resting. Heaven help us with what they're going to come up with. The only way that this administration is adept at pivoting is if it's to find some way to spend money we don't have on things that they want to reinvent this country. And it's that same lack of insight that is driving that. It's the same lack of insight that says, let's add more places to get vaccinations. Get your vaccines here. That's the problem. No, it's not accessibility. It's credibility. And you folks in Washington at the White House, you have none. Even your own people don't trust what you say now. So that's fine, Democrats on the far left. You can tell us that you don't trust what Joe Manchin says. The rest of America doesn't trust what you and this administration say. What say you? 844-747-8868. That's how you can join the conversation on the Todd Starn Show, 844-747-8868. Before we take the break and then take your calls, on our way to Raymond Arroyo live at the bottom of the hour, you know, MyPillow no longer sells through box stores or shopping channels. They've been canceled out. The cancel culture mob has gone after MyPillow. Well, here's the good thing. That means Mike Lindell can sell directly to you, the loyal customers that have made this a singular success story in the history of American business. And because you can now buy even more products directly from MyPillow, great, great savings. Best ever savings. For example, lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard MyPillow. Normally, this is $69.98. It's now only $19.98 if you use the promo code STARNS. They also have queen size, regularly $79.98, now $24.98 with promo code STARNS. How about a king size MyPillow? Normally, you'd see a sticker price on that for $89.98. It's a great value at that. Imagine what a value it is at $29.98, but once again, you have to use the promo code STARNS. I don't get anything for saying this, but I have MyPillow in my house. We love it. It is absolutely life-changing, and it only is the cost of a pillow. You may think, what difference does that make? Plenty. Makes plenty of difference. And MyPillow now does more than just pillows, of course, more than 150 products, sleepwear, slippers, beds even. So here's what you do. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes, or if you prefer to call, pick up the phone. It's a free call, 1-800-544-8939. That's 1-800-544-8939. But whether you go to MyPillow.com, MyStore.com, FrankSpeech.com, or that toll-free number, be sure to use the promo code STARNS to get the best deal on MyPillow. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Back with your calls after this break on the Coast to Coast Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
We are back in the Liberty University studios, and this is the Todd Starnes Show. Hello, I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. He answered the bell. The voice just wouldn't have it, and so he's going to rest that up with some of the remedies that you've suggested to get back with you just as soon as possible. 844-747-8868 is how you can reach us, as always. 844-747-8868. Raymond Arroyo joins us after the bottom of the hour. One of our good friends is Wyatt Cox of the Nevada News Network. That network, of course, carries this very radio program, The Todd Starnes Show. And Wyatt points out that you can even go to a strip club in Las Vegas and get your COVID shot. Well, you know, since you're out anyway. This is great. Thank you, Wyatt, for sharing this. Larry Flint's Hustler Club, that's the name of it. I've been to Las Vegas. I don't recall that on the tour stop, but in any case, there is an establishment entitled Larry Flint's Hustler Club, and they'll be hosting a pre-Christmas drive-through COVID-19 vaccine clinic today. Oh, well, good, if you're in the neighborhood, make your way on through. Oh, and it's located at Dean Martin Drive, at an address on Dean Martin Drive. You know, people have said, why don't you write fiction? You know, I do books. Todd, obviously, a best-selling author. I write books, but I write nonfiction because I think to myself, I don't have the creativity to write fiction. Realistically, I guess I don't need it because truth is stranger than fiction. So go to Larry Flint's Hustler Club on Dean Martin Drive in Las Vegas and get your COVID shot. Oh, heavens to Murgatroyd. I don't even know what to make of that. 844-747-8868. You know, now more than ever, it is important for us to support companies and organizations that share our values. We talk about that on this program all the time. And that's why you know that Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They not only share our beliefs, but they actually do something about it. What a unique concept in this day and age. Patriot Mobile, the good folks there, they donate a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes you care about. So how about making sure the money you spend goes to the right place? Switch to Patriot Mobile now. Use promo code Todd to get not only free activation, but separately a free gift. Patriot Mobile has the broadest nationwide coverage and uses the same towers other carriers use. They have plans that fit any budget, along with great discounts for veterans and first responders, true American heroes both. They also have great discounts for those of you who have multiple users in a household. Switching to Patriot Mobile is easy. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd, or you can call their U.S.-based customer service team. I don't want to make a thing about this, but I had to call a customer service department about something the other day. I just kept calling back because, frankly, I couldn't understand the person on the other end of the phone. Part of it is that they wear these stupid headsets and they're in a noisy room and all the rest of it. But I just, so when you hear that Patriot Mobile has U.S.-based customer service, that means something, right? And you can call them at 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. So get your special discount. Get your free premier activation by using promo code Todd. And for more details, visit patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Or call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. The true American patriot is Raymond Arroyo, and he'll check in from New Orleans about the spider that saved Christmas and all manner of things. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. We'll talk with Raymond Arroyo in a moment. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University Studios and the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd as he nurses that tricky little throat, wants to get that voice back to full strength. 844-747-8868 is the number where you can reach us and continue the conversation. Miss Grace, is our guest ready? Yeah, and the answer is yes. All right, then joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is Raymond Arroyo. Mr. Arroyo is the author of a wonderful book entitled The Spider That Saved Christmas. It is a book that I believe was discussed when Mr. Starnes talked with Mr. Arroyo last year on the program. The book is even more popular this year. Raymond Arroyo, thank you for joining us on the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in. How are you?
Hi, Jeff. How are you? Merry Christmas.
Now, I believe in full disclosure, and so I was going to say long time no talk, because here's the joke, audience. I spoke with Mr. Arroyo on my program in Iowa earlier today, so we're
That's
becoming
correct.
Fast friends.
Well, that was our rehearsal, Jeff.
Little did I know, that was off-Broadway. This is the main stage now. All right, so remind people who may not know, The Spider That Saved Christmas is a children's book with messages for all of us. So explain how this came to be, please.
Well, you know, it's a really ancient legend, as you know. This dates back to probably the 3rd century in Eastern Europe. And it's the reason we decorate our trees with tinsel, Jeff, which is something I had never figured out. I mean, I also always assumed that tinsel was to replicate icicles, you know, on your tree.
Yes.
But it turns out it's actually an homage, a little relic of this story. And somehow we kept the tradition of the tinsel, but discarded the story or forgot about it. So I thought this story needed to be preserved and carried forward. And really, look, every story, the reason stories exist, they're little life lessons. They're little owner's manuals for life. And I thought there's a great lesson here. There's a sweet story, and it points us back to the central mystery of why we celebrate Christmas, the coming of the Christ child, the coming of God as man. And different people reacted to that arrival in different ways. Some embraced it warmly, some came to pay him homage, others made war on the child and his mother. So this story sort of, in a microcosm, captures all of that, and I think draws families in a new and fun way.
And I could very well be wrong about this, but it has seemed to me that younger people, they may get taken to church. They don't understand fully that what's going on. And so then we have come up with all of these secular things to try to, quote unquote, explain the holiday. But in reality, you can talk about what this truly means, the true meaning of Christmas, without using that as a crutch, correct?
You're right. Look, I'm not in any way saying you shouldn't have Christmas carols on and visit Santa at the mall. All that's wonderful. We do that in our family. I always did that as a child. But you have to keep pointing back and reminding yourself, even as adults, this is about the coming of Jesus. And I think we take that for granted, Jeff. We've confined Christ's coming and the characters of that coming two little figures under your Christmas tree. We rarely think about them. So I wanted to get everybody to think anew, put themselves in the place of those characters. And what you realize is we have a lot in common, particularly at this moment in the story. You know, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus are now on the run. King Herod has sent soldiers out hunting for the Christ child, and not to pay him homage, I might add. So they hide in a cave on their way to Egypt, and while there, they encounter this spider. And I discovered this little legend in a Bible commentary, Jeff. It was in the footnote of a Bible commentary, but it didn't tell much more than what I just told you. What I discovered when I found translations of this folktale was that it really speaks to all of us and about our gifts, and no matter how small that gift is, you have to give it not only to those near you, but to God, because it may alter all of history, and that's what happens to this little spider. So if a little spider can perform her little service and change the world, imagine what we can do. And that's really what the story is about.
And it is such an important message. It is such a deceptively simple message, but in reality, if everyone just adhered to that, you'd have exponential growth in terms of spiritualness, prosperity, and overall success. Define that however you will.
Right. And peace, you know.
Yes.
And I mean, and that's, I have so many letters from people, and the reason I wanted it to be a picture book and, you know, not a chapter book, which was how I was originally writing it, was because I thought multiple generations should encounter this story together. And I've gotten such beautiful letters from grandmothers and parents who were touched by it for different reasons. And then the children were sort of fascinated by the spider. So it's an interesting way into the story that we take for granted. And it just, you know, by changing the perspective a little bit, it opens up the story in a new way, and it's fresh. It's suddenly fresh again.
Raymond Arroyo is the author of The Spider That Saved Christmas. He's joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line here on the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. I have found, now I don't have children, and so I don't have connection with young people. You are a parent, and so you have a very different perspective. I find, though, that when I talk to people on the radio who have written books that are designed for children, there are some wonderful series that are out there now designed to take back the narrative and help parents more appropriately expose their children to literature. I find that these individuals, parents and grandparents, they wind up reading the book to the young person and then take away a reinforced message themselves. That's got to be tremendously gratifying for you.
Well, I love children's literature, and this is something I discovered when I became a parent, Jeff. I started going back and from my own house. I pulled all the old books I read as a child, and I read them to my own children, Peter Pan and Treasure Island, The Jungle Book, the Tales of Narnia. All of those suddenly came alive to me in a very different way, Jeff. And the beauty of children's literature, good children's literature, is it's written on two levels. It's written for the child today and for the child when he's grown or she's grown. And so I write that way. I write for the young and the young at heart, which is the, I'm stealing that from Frank L. Baum, who wrote the Wizard of Oz series. But that is, that's how you write and how I write anyway. So adults are getting one message. Children are going on a very different ride, and because they're not ready. They're not ready for some of the other messages that are right there in front of their eyes. They just can't perceive them yet. And but the adults can. So it's, I like that multi-level literature because everybody comes away happy and with a different message.
And I don't mean in any way to diminish this whole concept, but it has occurred to me as I reached a certain age and now a certain advanced age, when I would come across a Looney Tunes cartoon on television these days, I see things so differently than when I was a kid because that had a little bit of, you know, political humor at times and messages you would get when you're older. I mean, this is what's so beautiful about the multi-generational messages because, again, it is not just park the kid in front of the TV and the kid gets something out of it. You're talking about something that can transcend generations in a very unique and special way.
Well, what they're telling me, and again, I've met thousands of people on this book tour, Jeff. I just ended it last weekend. What I discovered talking to people is it not only are they sharing the story together, but The Spider Who Saved Christmas also has provoked these great conversations about why is the family on the run? You know, does the Christ child have some powers over the people near him? You know, how is the spider communicating? All these little questions that open up very profound conversations that otherwise wouldn't be had. So that, to my mind, is just as important as any story I'm conveying. The conversations between generations and certainly among families are the most precious and powerful conversations that could take place and stories that could take place, Frank.
You told me this morning when we spoke on my program in Iowa that this was not an easy sell to publishers, and I find that fascinating.
No. You know, Jeff, as I told you, I had about five publishers turn me down because they said, there's no way parents are going to buy a book about a spider. People don't like spiders. And I found out from my Wilder series, which is kind of my middle grade series, that you know, that I write for Random House, children love spiders. They love anything that creeps and crawls and scares us. So I said, look, it doesn't matter if you like it or not. That's what the legend is. It's about this spider. I can't change the story. So I stuck to my guns or to my webs, and we marched forward, found the right publisher, and it's been a hit since it emerged, and the audience really discovered it, because it's true. At the heart of it, the story is true, and that's its power.
That just sounds like such a stereotypical New York publishing house response. Well, if we could turn the spider into a dog, then it would be okay. Well, in
how
our
about
final
the horse who saved Christmas, you know?
Yeah, there we go. The horse that saved Christmas. That's lovely. All right. In our final minute, 2 minutes or so with Raymond Arroyo on the Todd Starn Show. This is a troubled time in so many different ways. What is the message of Christmas that is especially helpful for listeners to this program in this unique year of 2021?
Well, it's the one I discovered writing this book, and that is, no matter how dark things may appear, and they appear very bleak and dark right now, you might be in your cave hunkered down, and you're worried about what's outside. Fear not. There is light among us. He has come, and Christ is here. The Christ child is coming. I had a dear friend, Mother Angelica, who founded EWTN. Yes. I'm sure people are familiar with her or have seen her on TV. She's the kind of jolly, cheery nun in the old habit. Mother Angelica, when she would come down the halls of the network this time of year, would just say, "He's coming! He's coming!" Like a little child, so filled with expectation and joy and excitement. And we all need to recapture that, because he is coming. And he will soon be here. And if you really believe, there's no room for fear. There's no room for angst or worry. You can come out of that cave, because God's still in charge and his light is among us.
What a tremendous message. Mr. Arroyo, thank you so much for the time. Thank you for spreading this message and all the work that you do. A very Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Oh, Merry Christmas to you, Jeff. And look, thank you for the dress rehearsal earlier today. It made me better this time. And I hope Todd feels better soon.
And I promise I'm not going to call you a third time today. How's that?
Well, now I'm disappointed. Okay, my friend. God
very
bless
well.
You. Merry Christmas to all your listeners. And Todd, rest that voice. We need it.
Absolutely true. Raymond Arroyo. You know him from EWTN, Fox Nation, Fox Channel on television. But we know him today as the author of the wonderful children's book, multi-generational book. Thank you very much. It's called The Spider That Saved Christmas. He's Raymond Arroyo, and he joined us on the Todd Starnes program. One of the great things about doing this show, I'll mention briefly before we go to the break, is, and I've said this before, that Grace Baker, the executive producer of the program, when it looks like I might be filling in, says, "Is there anyone you'd like to invite in the program?" And so I had suggested, well, you know, Raymond Arroyo would be a great guest, not knowing that I would be talking to him on my program earlier today and then here with you. But he is he just got such a wonderful spirit and a wonderful outlook. Raymond Arroyo, The Spider That Saved Christmas. It's also not the first time I've talked to a person twice in one day when I filled in on this program. It happened one other time. So those of you keeping score, and I don't know why you would. Well, coming up, we're going to take your calls. In our next hour, we have a trio of wonderful guests, and I'll tell you about those in a moment. But now it's time for you to join us at 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. And while we take this break, why don't you go to toddstarnes.com and order up a couple of copies of Our Daily Biscuit. Go ahead, buy them now, have them sent to the recipient, and then you can just put a little card under the tree. See? I'm taking care of all of your needs today. Go to toddstarnes.com, buy the national bestseller, Our Daily Biscuit, and join us when we come back on the other side. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Coming to you from the Liberty University studios, this is the Todd Starnes Show. Hello, I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. He gave it a go today, but the voice just wasn't strong enough, and he doesn't like doing anything but giving you his best effort. And so let's let him rest the voice the rest of the day. I'll be happy to continue the conversation with you, and that way Todd can share his wisdom with you at full throat as soon as possible. Coming up in the next hour of this program, you know the members of our military. No finer fighting force, no more patriotic group of people who volunteer for this duty. You can't do any better than the American military. You can't do any better than Navy SEALs. And yet, because of bogus, what I'll say is social engineering, there are a number of them who might have to leave the service because of the bogus vaccination mandate. And the folks at the First Liberty Institute have filed a lawsuit and filed an amicus brief in behalf. Members of Congress have filed an amicus brief, that's a friend of the court brief, to support the First Liberty Institute lawsuit in support of Navy SEALs. We'll talk with the folks from First Liberty just after the top of the next hour. Also coming up in the next hour, we will speak with the mayor of a community whose school district, and this is in Illinois, I believe, the school district said, you can't have Christmas this year. Kids can't celebrate Christmas in schools. And the mayor did not take kindly to that and let everybody know about it and got some things changed. We will talk with the mayor of Orland Park about that in the next hour. And how about being mindful in the year 2022? How about getting finances in order? And how about doing it in a whole different way? We have a guest to talk about that. So not one, not two, but three guests scheduled to join us in our next hour of the Todd Starnes radio program. But we still have time for your calls. Anytime, we always make time for you folks in Starnes Nation. It's 844-747-8868. I was looking at the Twitter machine today, and if it's on Twitter, it's got to be true, right? I mean, we all know that. But two bits of news. One, the incoming mayor of New York City, Eric Adams, you know, the one who lives in New Jersey but has an apartment in New York so he can claim residency so he can be mayor. New York City Mayor-elect Eric Adams says he's postponing his inauguration. It was supposed to be New Year's Day, but because of COVID, he's going to postpone it. Now, I trust he's postponing the celebration. I'm sure he's going to take the job. And I guess at this point, I would say, please, Mr. Adams, take the job as soon as you can from Bill de Blasio, because there's at least a whisper of a hope of New York City being saved from the de Blasio era. The sooner that era can get over with, the better. Now, let me ask you this. I'm sure somebody has an answer that will correct what I'm about to say, but I would dare say that New York City is the most locked down city in America. The rules for COVID, driving businesses to bankruptcy, the way that they have done everything, you know, just clamped down everything. I will tell you, I think New York City is the most restrictive city in the nation on COVID. How about this? New York City now has the nation's highest new case rate, averaging more new cases than any other time in the pandemic, surging by 640%. So, okay, let's see. If we really lock things down, that will, make it even worse. Good job, New York. Come on back for the next hour. Jeff Stein in for Todd. Short break now, back on the other side. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to hour number three of this Tuesday edition of the Todd Starnes program. Coast to coast on more than 100 excellent radio stations and streaming live at toddstarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. He's still having a little issue with the voice. He tried to make it through, got through the first hour, and decided that better to have full voice so that he is not mistaken when he gives you his clear conservative commentary. And so he's probably in the studio pacing, and they won't let him near the microphone in hopes that he gets back to full strength as soon as possible. I'm speaking to you from the Liberty University studio at Starnes Media Affiliate, News Talk 1540 KXEL in Waterloo and Cedar Rapids, Iowa. That's my home base, the 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable views. privilege to be filling in for Todd, and we have much to get to this hour. And so I want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, where we are going to speak with Mike Berry. Mr. Berry is general counsel with the First Liberty Institute. Mike Berry, thanks for joining the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, Jeff.
I'm sure the audience in Starnes Nation is well familiar with the work done by First Liberty Institute, but remind folks who may not be familiar, tell us about what you folks do.
Well, First Liberty Institute is the largest legal organization in the country that is dedicated exclusively to defending religious liberty. And you can find us at firstliberty.org.
There is no better group of people on the planet, I would dare say, than those who have volunteered to serve in the United States military. And First Liberty is representing some of the best of the best in a lawsuit against, in essence, the commander-in-chief. Tell us about this, please.
That's right. We filed a lawsuit on behalf of 35 U.S. Navy SEALs. Actually, just yesterday, we had a hearing in federal court on our lawsuit. And what our lawsuit is alleging is that the military is not above the law. I think most people understand that when you join the military, there are certain things that you give up, certain freedoms. You may have to work weekends, you may get deployed, you have to wear a uniform, you have to have short hair, things like that. But you don't give up your religious rights, your religious freedom. And that's what is at the heart of this lawsuit, is really asking the president, the Secretary of Defense, and the Pentagon to be held accountable to the law. They're not above the law. And when they issue a vaccine mandate that requires everybody in the military to get the vaccine, they can't turn around and tell people, well, if you have a medical issue, that's fine. We'll let you continue to serve with your medical issue. You'll get a medical exemption. Or, if you have some kind of administrative exemption that you're eligible for, you can have an administrative exemption. And then they're not approving a single religious exemption across the entire military. And that includes, obviously, for our Navy SEALs. In fact, the last number I heard was something like 3,000 or 4,000 religious accommodation requests have been reviewed. Not a single one has been approved. And, Jeff, in my book, that is a classic case of religious discrimination.
Now, again, as a lawyer myself, I know that there is a way that a court can say, look, the provision is facially neutral. But if, in fact, it has discriminatory impact, then even if it looks neutral on the face, then you cannot put the provision into place. Well, similarly here, if they were to say, well, of course, we would grant a religious exemption, but they're all for all the exemptions, that tells you something, and it does have some legal merit, does it not?
Absolutely. I mean, and that's what's really going on here, is the Department of Justice is the one who is defending the Navy here in our case. And so they are our opposing counsel. And in court, that's exactly what they said was, well, our regulations allow them to request a religious exemption. So they need to put in their request, which, by the way, all of our clients have put in their request. And they said, well, now they have to wait and see what happens. Well, we all know what's going to happen, because just as you said, zero have been approved. And they show absolutely no intention of approving any of them. But nevertheless, the Department of Justice is telling these Navy SEALs, oh, well, you just have to wait and see if you get punished. Wait and see if you get kicked out. And if you do get kicked out, well, maybe then you'll have a legal claim. That's not how the law works. And that's what I mean when I'm saying they're holding themselves to be above the law. And basically they're saying they get to make up the rules as they go because they're the military. That's not how it works in this country. Maybe in Russia or China or North Korea, but not in the United States.
Certainly not supposed to. Mike Berry is general counsel with the First Liberty Institute. FirstLiberty.org is the website. He's joining us on the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. And again, you have to have a valid cause of action before you file a lawsuit. I mean, for example, I am not a Navy SEAL. I could not file a lawsuit on behalf of Navy SEALs. I do not have what in the courts we call standing. Well, there's a very different situation where what you are in essence doing, to state it a different way, you're trying to get a declarative judgment on this to prevent a harm from happening. They can't hide behind, well, your cause of action isn't ripe yet. It isn't time yet for you to sue. We'll wait for bad things to happen, and then you can get redress. That just seems contrary to the whole point of the word justice.
Well, and that's a great point you bring up, Jeff, because actually we presented a significant amount of evidence to the judge that we need not wait until harm happens, because they're actually being punished as we speak. They've been punished from the moment that they said, I have an objection to the vaccine and I have a religious objection and I'm going to be asking for a religious accommodation from the vaccine. That's when the intimidation, the harassment, and the punishment began. Our clients testified that they had been removed from positions of leadership, that they had been denied the opportunity to travel. Some of them had been denied the opportunity to seek necessary medical care, all under the ruse of, well, you're not vaccinated, and so therefore you're a threat to national security or some nonsense like that. And so, you know, and what's funny is the Department of Justice's response was, well, that doesn't technically meet the definition of punishment, right? You know, that you may think it's punishment, but, you know, it doesn't meet our definition of punishment. And I couldn't help but almost, you know, I was incredulous at that, thinking, well, who gets to decide what's adverse and what's not? Typically, it would be in the eyes of the person who's experiencing it. You know, if you're going through a bad situation, the fact that the person doing it to you says, well, I don't think it's that bad, you know, doesn't detract from the fact that you're still having to go through this ordeal, the emotional, psychological, and spiritual trauma that this is subjecting these Navy SEALs to. Here's the bottom line. They have spent their entire professional lives training for and preparing for and equipping themselves to defend our nation and to fight for our defense and for our freedoms. And now, instead of fighting for our country, they're fighting for their careers and their livelihoods and their ability to continue to stay in the Navy and to be Navy SEALs. And that is beyond heartbreaking. It's absolutely insane.
Instead of fighting for their country, they're fighting their country. And you, I apologize if you heard me snicker as you were talking about this, only because of the fact that it is so ludicrous, these things that are being said, because we allow emotional harm to be weighed in any sort of court for damages. We say people are harmed if they have had emotional harm. And if you have committed your life and your career to this country, and all of a sudden now you find that coming to an end because of, in essence, your religious beliefs, it's no more clear than that. If that doesn't cause emotional distress, I'm not sure what would. You've got members of Congress now in no small number supporting you in this effort officially, correct?
That's right. We were extremely, you know, pleased and really honored that 47 members of Congress, if I recall the numbers, it was 9 U.S. senators and 38 members of the House of Representatives. So I say, if I get my, I'm just a lawyer, so I, you know, my math may be a little off. I believe that adds up to 47. And you know, we were thrilled and again very grateful that members of Congress, led by Senator Cruz on the Senate side and Congressman Mike Johnson on the House side, filing this front of the court brief, expressing their support for the Navy SEALs and for the rule of law in the military.
I used to do taxes as part of my work as a lawyer, so using the line, I'm not good at math, really didn't ever work for me, but I appreciate where you're coming from on it. Okay, so exit point here for Mike Berry, General Counsel of the First Liberty Institute. What's the next step on this? You said there was a hearing yesterday. What's the next step here?
Well, now we're waiting for the court to issue its ruling on the hearing, because the judge did not issue a ruling from the bench.
Sure.
So, which was, you know, that's very, very common.
Oh, of course.
That to happen. So, you know, hopefully we'll get a hearing, a ruling this week. It'd be a nice, you know, Christmas present if we got a victory this week. But, you know, at the end of the day, we just want to see justice served for these SEALs and really for all of our service members and for our country, because I really believe that what happens in this case is going to extend far beyond just the 35 Navy SEALs that we represent.
Oh, there's no question about it. And again, I always hated being asked by someone in the media, what do you think the judge will do? Because that's just a stupid question. Because you're a lawyer, you're not going to comment on the outcome. Do you think you had the opportunity to present, however, what you wanted to present? Do you feel good about what the case or the record you were able to make?
Absolutely. I that was something that really stood out to me, was that the judge was very engaged, asked very poignant questions. I think it asked the right questions. So that gave me a great deal of confidence that the judge is, like I said, number one, very engaged in the issues presented in this case, and is really, analyzing and looking into the facts, the law, and how those two play together, just as we would. It's everything you would want a judge to do in a case like this, is to take an objective look at the facts and the law, to see how the law applies to the facts, and then, any area where the judge might, be unclear or wants to confirm or some assumptions that he has, that's when he asks questions of the lawyers. And I think that's exactly what happened. So, and that's how the law is supposed to work in this country. And so to that extent, obviously, like you said, Jeff, it's impossible to predict what a court or a judge is going to do. But all you can do is hope that the court approaches it with an open mind, asks good questions, and seems to take a genuine interest in the issues presented. And that's exactly what we saw yesterday.
FirstLiberty.org is the website. Right on the main page, there's a button that says donate. And if you click on that, you'll learn about their First in the Fight Together challenge grant, giving you the opportunity to help support their work. That runs now through the end of this calendar year. Mr. Berry, a great privilege to speak to you. Keep up the excellent work.
Thanks for having me.
Mike Berry, General Counsel, First Liberty Institute, online, firstliberty.org. And we certainly will continue to follow that case as part of the Daily Todd Starnes Show. 844-747-8868 is how you can join the conversation. We'll take your calls next. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. Thanks for being along. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
I don't really care what you think about Christmas, but you have to admit, the music is so fantastic, right? It puts anyone, even the biggest Grinch, gets in the best mood. Welcome back to the Liberty University Studio and the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. 844-747-8868 is how you can join us. As always, 844-747-8868. Well, if I'm looking at the monitor correctly, Jen Psaki is doing a news briefing at the White House. I can tell because she's speaking, therefore her nose is growing before our very eyes. Apparently, the man sworn in as president back on January 20th is supposed to address the nation on the COVID surge coming up in a few moments. Obviously, they'll wait until she gets done spinning things in advance. And we already know what he's going to say because they released the plan. Something like they trumped him, whoops, again, I said trumped him, didn't I? About 9 hours before Biden is scheduled to speak, they already said what he was going to put in place, and it just has to do with spending government money to get you a test kit for home use and what else were they going to do? Oh, that's right, pop-up vaccination stations because we don't have enough access to vaccines. Okay, fine. They are just so out of touch with all of this, and it would be laughable if it wasn't so scary that these people are either so incompetent or so nefarious on how they handle things. But in any event, if news breaks out, we'll break in, but I don't necessarily expect that news will be breaking out as a result of that. They've already told us what he was going to do, and I've noticed that the stocks are through the roof today. If I'm not mistaken, at last report, Dow Jones Industrial Average up something like, 566 points within the past half hour? NASDAQ is up 311, the S&P 500 up 76. My guess is, and I'm sure smarter people than me could give you a better answer, but part of the reason why the market might be doing so well is that prior to the opening of the market, they did release the list of what he was going to do. Last night, there was this trial balloon floated. I'm not sure if you kept up on it or not, but there was all of this speculation that, in fact, Biden would be ordering. Now, this has not been done. Don't anybody get ahead of me here. Supposedly, Biden was considering ordering that you could not get on an airplane unless you had proof of vaccination. In other words, that was his plan or one of the things that they were discussing. Those who are pulling the strings on the marionette in the White House were considering saying that you'd have to get the jab and be fully vaccinated, which, as we all know, that definition is only going to expand as they continue to trample our basic rights as human beings. All right, so they were going to say you can't get on a plane unless you have had the shot. Well, he did not say that. At least it's not in what we got from the White House early this morning. So we have to think and hope that that's not part of these draconian measures that he's going to mention. And that, I think, is the sigh of relief. The market looked at that and said, thank goodness you're not going to do something stupid like that. Because I'm just trying to figure out how in the world, why would you try to entirely cripple the American travel industry? What would be the purpose? You want to take over the airlines when they all go bankrupt? Why would you do such a thing? And as far as safety, I had the head of our local airport in my studio and talking about the fact that realistically, because of all of the air circulation procedures on airplanes, you know, the entire air in the cabin of the plane is it recirculates every however many minutes. I don't know the number. It was the way he was phrasing it. Now, granted, he wants you to get on a plane, right? I mean, that's how he makes his living. But it was almost safer to be on a plane than anywhere else. So that would have made no sense other than control. And how many other moves by this administration have been about control? Let's look at the list. Oh, that's right, all of them. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Short break now. Back on the other side. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Coming to you from the Liberty University studio, this is the Todd Starnes Show. Hello, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. 844-747-8868 is the number where you can connect with the program. Right now, we're going to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we are connecting with the mayor of the city of Orland Park, Illinois. He is Mayor Keith Peacock. Mayor Peacock, thanks for joining us on the program. How are you, sir?
Thank you very much for having me. I'm doing great.
All right. So tell us about Orland Park. Where are you located? How big a city is it?
We're about, as the crow flies, we're about 25 miles southwest of downtown Chicago. And we're a city of approximately 60,000 people, 59,000.
All right. So you have plenty to do with being the mayor of Orland Park, but something drew your attention that was tied to something they were, well, shall we say, not going to do in the local schools. Set that up for us, please.
So the local school districts here are run by someone other than the mayor. They're run by a separately elected school board. And a unelected superintendent elected to essentially eliminate Christmas from everything in the district. So that included Christmas trees. It included they couldn't teach the Nutcracker, a variety of things.
This is one of these situations where normally I'd say, well, it's a well-meaning individual, and they just kind of got, you know, outkicked their coverage on it, if you will. This was done without the school board knowing, right? This was just an edict from the superintendent?
Correct. The school board had actually passed a policy saying they wanted to be more inclusive and that they would have further discussions on details around that, and then the superintendent made this decision unbeknownst to the school board, at least unbeknownst to the majority of the school board. Maybe one member knew, we don't know, but the majority of them did not.
So in an effort to be more inclusive, Christmas was banned. Was there a list about what could be included and what could not be included?
There was a letter that was sent to the principals that was forwarded on to me that it didn't really have a list. It essentially, anything that were, you know, lights, displays, Christmas trees, anything that referenced Christmas in any way was to be taken down. And that was what was sent to the principals at the schools. And obviously several parents found out and they forwarded it on to me.
Now, do you have children in that school district?
Not anymore. They're all through that school district some time ago. My children are now adults.
Okay, but you're familiar with the schools. I mean, so this is friendly territory to you. So somebody apparently got this word to you.
They did get the word to me, and I confirmed it through several sources that this was, in fact, true. I didn't want to post anything on social media or anything that was not factual. And knowing that I have much more reach than some of the parents do, just because of my role as mayor, I posted it on social media. It certainly took off in the Orland Park area. And they let their elected representatives know, and within 2 or 3 days, the policy was reversed.
We're speaking with the mayor of Orland Park, Illinois. He is Mayor Keith Peacock, and he's joining us on the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. All right, so what did you post on social media? Was it just some words, some text, or did you post a memo, or what did you put up there?
I essentially posted what I knew to be true, that this had happened, and that if, in fact, it did happen, and if the school board was unaware, that the parents should let the school board know, and all of their emails were listed in a separate post that someone else had made. I linked that post, which had the letter. It also had all of the school board members' school emails, and I believe they then started getting bombarded with emails from the constituents.
Well, that's the best part of this, where you simply said, I understand that the school district in our town is doing this, and oh, yeah, here's how you could contact the people. Were you surprised at the response from the citizens of Orland Park?
Absolutely not. And the responses and comments on the post itself, there were a lot of people who weren't even Christians, and they said they don't want Christmas canceled. It's part of America, and they want to see Christmas continue. So that this is not the intended policy. This is not fit what Orland Park wants. I knew that was the case. I know that's not what the people of Orland Park wanted. And, you know, fortunately, they were able to peacefully let the school board know, which is really critical here. They did this in a peaceful manner, and the school board reacted immediately once they found out about it and made a change.
So what's the current situation for students this week in school as we near Christmas?
I think they have 2 more days in school this week, and it's been operating as it has for the last couple of decades as far as Christmas is concerned. So those things were not canceled. The things that were being taught were not canceled, and it's back to kind of business as normal on that front, although there obviously is still in Illinois some restrictions regarding COVID that's not exactly normal, but I believe they're dealing with that. Fortunately for me, my children are out of the school, so I'm not having to deal with that at this time.
But at least in terms of having to have Christmas trees stuck in back storerooms and lights pulled down from bulletin boards, it's back to normal with regard to what kids should be expecting at Christmas.
Absolutely. I mean, Christmas is, obviously, its roots are a Christian holiday, but it is also part of America. It's part of our culture. And why would we cancel that? And I think parents in Orland Park are more than happy to be inclusive. But inclusive does not mean eliminating things. It means including other things.
Almost by definition, Mr. Mayor, inclusive means to add other things, I would say. I don't mean to make light of this, but what's been the reaction that you have gotten then, either from people at the school saying, Mayor, what are you doing to us here, or from some of the voters there in your city?
Well, I think the parents were very happy that I made them aware, and the school board obviously took very quick action. I think some of them would have preferred that I picked up the phone and called them personally about it, but we had no idea whether they were aware of the situation or not. And in my estimation, it's a lot better many times for the constituents and the parents to make their voices known. That tends to have much more of an impact than one person saying, hey, this is what I've heard. So we elected to go that route, and the parents provided plenty of factual information to the school board to let them know that this indeed was happening.
What I really like about this story, and Todd wanted to make sure that we told America about it, is because it just seems to be exactly the way things should be handled. In other words, someone has a bad policy, and it's simply a matter of let's politely let people know about it, and then offer opinions so that perhaps it can be changed. This seems like exactly how representative democracy should work at this stage.
I would agree. People were told about it. People informed their elected representatives. Their elected representatives took action. And you could say, well, what if they didn't take action? Well, then those constituents should vote them out of office in the future. But this is how things should be handled in a representative form of government. And it was. It was done absolutely peacefully, and it was done by the people and the constituents, and the elected representatives heard their constituents and reacted accordingly. It did not allow an elected bureaucrat to make the decision.
Mayor, thank you so much for taking time to tell the story to America here on the Todd Starnes Show. Merry Christmas to you and your family and everyone there in Orland Park, Illinois.
Merry Christmas to you as well and to all of your listeners. Thank you very much.
He is the mayor of Orland Park, Illinois, Keith Peacock. And they basically just stood up in the city and said to the school, no, we want to have Christmas, thank you very much. And they got the Christmas. I mean, Christmas was saved, right? Christmas was restored there in the city of Orland Park. Good story. Good story. And again, it shows you can do it the right way. All you have to do is just let the people determine their own fate, their own future. Now, I suppose Merrick Garland is taking notes on everybody on social media who tweeted about it. Because, you know, you're going to have the Department of Justice come into the school board meeting. So this is the next best thing. Oh, I hope not. I hope not. What a wonderful, wonderful little story. All right, so President Biden has begun speaking, I see. Jen Psaki got done lying from the podium, and so everything's running a little behind schedule. And he is at the podium right now. We're monitoring it to see if he says anything other than what the news release from the White House said some hours ago in the middle of the night. They let us know what this was all about. We're going to monitor that. Right now, let's take a break. And then when we come back, we do have another guest coming up before we're done today, but we also have time for you at 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We'll take care of watching the president. You listen to these good words, and if you have a mind, go to toddstarnes.com and purchase a couple of copies of Our Daily Biscuit. You can buy them now. You can put a little note in the Christmas stocking telling the recipient that it's coming. And that way they'll get a benefit of a Christmas gift on Christmas morning, and then later when the book comes. It's a double win. ToddStarnes.com. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Liberty University Studios and the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. We go now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we welcome our guest. She is Mary Martin. Dr. Martin is author of a book coming out very soon called Mindfulness for Financial Advisors, Practicing a New Way of Being. Dr. Martin, thanks for joining the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in. How are you?
I am so great, and thank you so much for having me, Jeff.
All right, so as we look at this broad topic of financial advice, financial advisors, and I will speak from a radio standpoint, we have a difference between people who go sell advertising and people who go work with clients. Because if you're simply there to sell advertising and get a commission number up, well, that may help you, but that doesn't help the client or the customer. What are you talking about with this concept of mindfulness for financial advisors?
It's really something completely different. There's been building the industry for training humans who work with humans. And by that, I mean the business has been moving sort of away from that transactional and sales-oriented and product-oriented to something that's more like relational. So you've heard the term trusted advisor. Investors want one. Advisors want to be one. But what does that mean, practically speaking? So I'm talking about the way of being that you have as an advisor, kind of like for a doctor. Doctors have what we call like a bedside manner, you know, and you'll say, oh, you know, terrible bedside manner. You know what that means. And you know that you don't want to hang out with that person. You don't want to talk to that person. They're not warm and fuzzy. They're not somebody who you feel listens to you. They're talking at you. So this is a different way of advisors to approach their work and approach who they think they are as an advisor. Does that help?
Well, it does, because, again, it's attitudinal, is it not? I mean, if your idea is to go into something to, quote-unquote, sell, first of all, you're going to meet resistance because the customer or client knows that. But second, your motivation is very different as opposed to developing a mindful relationship. Do I have that pretty close?
You have it exactly right, Jeff. So it's, who do I want to be as an advisor? I want to get to know what this person in front of me, this human being, needs and wants, what drives them, what makes them tick. And it's centering that person. It's centering the client and who they are and what they want out of life and this relationship. It's not centering what you want out of it. And yeah, you might have an agenda of things you want to get done in a meeting, but that's not the priority. So the priority is getting to know the person in front of you and what they really want. So it turns the table, really.
Mindfulness for Financial Advisors, Practicing a New Way of Being, comes out very soon, next month. And if you go to MaryMartinPhD.com, you can learn more about our guest, Dr. Mary Martin. All right, talk about mindfulness generally. I've been using that as a term as part of our conversation, but it occurs to me that I failed to actually ask you to fully define it to put a broader context on all this. So as you instruct people, mindfulness means what?
And that is a really, really important point, because mindfulness means different things to different people. And so I'm really glad that you said as you use it, because as I use it, I am trained by Brown University to be a mindfulness-based stress reduction teacher. It's called MBSR, and it has been studied since 1979 when it was created by Dr. Jon Kabat-Zinn. And it was created to help reduce chronic pain, reduce anxiety, improve well-being, promote general well-being, improve health outcomes, and it has shown to do a lot of those things for decades. So I'm trained in that. I'm trauma-sensitive mindfulness trained. I'm trained to teach kids mindfulness. And what it is it's learning how to meet what happens in your life from moment to moment without judging it and being aware of being present for, you may have heard the term be present,
sure.
Being present for your life as it occurs from moment to moment. It's not about being positive and about putting a positive spin on everything. A lot of people think that's what it's about. It's not about clearing your mind or stopping your thoughts. It's about learning how to meet what is occurring in your life, which usually involves what's occurring. This might sound weird, but what's occurring in your body, our emotions are constructed by us in our bodies. And we kind of go along for the ride a lot of the time as if we can't do anything about that. And sometimes when you're with a client, when you're with anybody, you've heard people use the word trigger. You know, somebody triggers me. What that really means is something in your human nervous system is saying, oh, there's a potential threat here. There's a potential challenge here, a threat to my survival. That's what your brain thinks. So it teaches you, mindfulness teaches you how to understand your emotions and understand how they get constructed by you so you don't let yourself get carried away with them. And then once you understand your own emotions and how your body works with your emotions, how your mind works to create your emotions, you kind of understand, if I'm a human with a human nervous system and my client is, and I know my body does this and I do this, they do this too.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps you understand when people have reactions to things, and it helps you, it puts you in a position where because you've had this experience with your own self and really getting into how your body responds to different thoughts and different people and different situations, you get this empathy. People, you may have heard the term stepping into somebody else's shoes.
Empathy. Oh, sure.
It's not really about that. Yeah. Empathy is about, like, once you have experienced your own thoughts, your own emotions, and the things that upset you, you realize, oh my gosh, when I see this poor person in front of me getting upset,
it's the same
acting
thing.
Irrational.
Sure.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, Dr. Martin, I have to stop there only because we're at the end of the program. But I appreciate that. That was so very helpful right there. That was so very helpful. MaryMartinPhD.com, and you can get a free introduction to the first 20-some pages of Mindfulness for Financial Advisors. MaryMartinPhD.com. Thanks to you all for being here. I'm Jeff Stein. I'll be here again tomorrow. Great fun for me. Hope it is for you, too. This is the Todd Starn Show.
This is Claudia's O'Reilly Auto Parts story.
I had just moved to a new city and barely even knew where the grocery store was yet. When my car wouldn't start one morning, I didn't know who to ask about local shops. But I remembered a name from back home, O'Reilly Auto Parts. I called and they pointed me to a great mechanic just down the street. Now, I feel a little more at home.
Oh.